Lord, we just ask that you would now pour out the gift of teaching, Lord, by your Spirit. Lord, we know that the scriptures have to be spiritually taught. They have to be spiritually discerned, too, and understood. And so, Lord, we just ask that your Spirit now would give us the ability to comprehend what you have to say and open our hearts and minds to receive it, Lord, that it might be food to our souls, that our minds might be renewed by it, Lord, that we might grow thereby. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, Hebrews. We got started over the last couple weeks. Got it on. I'm all set. We're at 38 seconds already, so we're already ticking away here. Thank you, though. So, let's just review a little bit. We did our introduction a couple weeks ago. Last week, we just looked at the first few verses of the chapter. And again, the overall theme of the book of Hebrews. Well, what would anybody say their perspective is? What's your perspective on the theme of Hebrews? From what we've talked about, or maybe just what you've read? It's kind of a major theme. Okay, hope in the future, that's a major theme. Marlene?
Jesus is better.
Jesus is better, okay? So he's better, and that's part of the theme, is he's better. There's a hope in the future, a glorious hope through him. Don't lose sight of that. And that's part of the theme, too. What was happening? These Hebrew believers, they're brothers and sisters in the Lord. They're brethren, as they're called by the writer. They're losing their hope in Christ, probably because of persecution, sufferings, and trials that are coming their way, because of immaturity. Sounds like when we get farther in the book, we find out that they seem to be still kind of immature in their Christian understanding. The writer says you should be more mature by now, but, you know, we wonder about that ourselves sometimes. How many of us think we should be more mature by now? Maybe we've been in the Christian faith a long time. And so there was a problem there, and so they were drifting back to old ritual and tradition. Obviously, Judaic tradition and ritual, the law, the old covenant, and maybe, as we said, too, some sectarian ideas that some Jewish sects had too. So they're drifting back to some of those things. And so the writer is, get your eyes back on Jesus. He's superior in every way, being more than superior, just the quality and the degree of his superiority is beyond what we can even imagine. And so don't lose track of that. And you have him to run to. You can go to the throne of grace for help in time of need. Don't forget you have this high priest that's always ministering to you. So there's kind of the overall theme and picture. So when we kind of encapsulate it in that, it helps us understand a little better. So last week we saw just in the introduction, he's declaring a few major things in that introduction. One is that Jesus himself is what? We could say the exact image and express image of the Father. Okay? And we know that that's kind of hard for us to understand. There's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God in three persons. But if you've seen Jesus, he said of himself, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Okay, so in him is that glory, and in him is that person that says in verse 3, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. So as that one who's is in the express image of God. He's also the creator. He's created all things. So we saw that. And we see that he's the one now speaking to us. Okay? And so we do well to hear him. And we're going to hear that throughout the epistle a couple of different times. Very strong warning. Hear him. Okay? Hear what he has to say. And these are the words of Jesus. So that's what we need to remember is hear him. And not something lesser. And the first thing that we start to go into here that he's going to show the superiority of Jesus in is he's superior to the angels. Okay? And that's what we'll look at today is the writer is going to take us back to the Old Testament and he's going to use Old Testament verses to show us the superiority of the King's Son. Okay? Over the angels. And so in these verses that we're going to see them being messianic verses or showing that Christ himself is the king. He's that king that will rule and rules the universe now will rule the world in that age to come when there's the millennial kingdom and the everlasting kingdom. So we're going to be looking at verses that just show his superiority in those things. So he's the Son King in the sense that he is the one who is the greater Son of David, or the fulfillment of that Davidic covenant. He's the king that fulfills all that. And so greater than the angels. Now, like we said, why would there be this need to show that he's greater than the angels? Well, there's a couple things. One could be that these people may have come from a Jewish sect that had a very well-developed angelology and maybe put more emphasis on angels and their role in things than even the Old Testament did. Now, in the Old Testament, we do know that the Old Testament was delivered, as we'll see in the beginning of chapter 2, the Old Testament was delivered through the mediation of angels to the prophets. Just as we see in the book of Revelation, when we see John got his messages from what? Angels, okay? So that's one of the things. So it could be just that they're looking to that and going, well, the angels delivered to us the Old Testament, and so they're great, and yet there must have been some concept that was maybe some added to the scripture idea where they thought the angels were also going to have a rule that would be above man, okay? And so he's saying, no, the Son of Man is the one who rules. And so he's the greater one even than the angels. So spends this first chapter dealing with that issue of not exalting angels over Christ, but exalting Christ over the angels, keeping your eyes on that. So apparently whatever they would be going back to would have an emphasis with angels. And like we said, there were some sects that believed that Michael the archangel was the one that would rule in the coming kingdom. Okay? And so he's discounting those things, apparently. We don't know what all, you know, he doesn't get into detail. He just makes the point and goes on saying, greater than the angels. So get your eyes off the angels if that's where your eyes are. What if for whatever reason they had him on that? So let's go ahead and dive into the text here. Let's back up. We'll just read from verse 1. We're going to read through the chapter, and then we'll come back again and look at it. We won't look at the first four verses over again, but I just want to tie it all together. It says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. So he's the one that made the world. He's the heir of all things. Okay, so who inherits everything? Jesus. Okay, not the angels. Okay, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he has by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than them. So a couple things here. We see he's the heir of all things. By inheritance, he's got a more acceptable name. So we're getting this whole picture that he's the heir of all things, and it's the heir as the king. Okay? So right now, he sits where? The right hand of majesty. Okay? So he's sitting in that kingly role, but we find out not all things are under him yet. Okay? So we find that out, but he's already in that kingly role, and in a universal way, he rules. But we know that there's a time when he'll come and rule right in the kingdom of men in the millennium. So we'll see that. But he has that kingly inheritance. He is that rightful heir to all things. And that's because he's the creator of all things, and he's also the one who purged our sins. So by the fact that he purged sin, he's the one who paid the redemptive price. So he's the one who has purchased it all, so it's rightfully his, and he will take it all back. Okay, so that's the point. So he's got a more excellent name than the angels, and that's by inheritance. And the writer's going to be dealing with that inheritance thing throughout. We'll hear words like rest and salvation, and those all relate to inheritance. Okay, not salvation as we see it in the sense of when we believe for salvation and eternal life, but we're going to be seeing it in the sense that it's a future salvation, it's an inheritance, it's a rest. So those things will come up through the next four chapters and beyond. So we'll be looking at those too. So he's better than the angels. So let's start out here. He says, for to which of the angels did he ever say? Okay, so now he's going to go through a bunch of questions here about the angels, a couple questions about the angels. Did he say this about the angels? So that's the question. For which of the angels did he say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? Did he say that to the angels? Or did he say that to the son, who by inheritance has the rightful rule on the throne? Okay, well, let's go look at Psalms 2. Okay. So in Psalms 2:7, which is a messianic psalm, we're gonna look at the Old Testament verses, so it's gonna take us a while as we go through this, but I think it's important that we go back and look at the Old Testament reference, because what does that do for us when we do that? Everybody should know it keeps it in context. Keeps it in context. And context rules. It's important to know the context of what's being written. So in Psalms 2, the quote is from verse 7. He says, I will declare the decree the Lord has said to me, you are my son, today I have begotten you. Okay, so who did he say that of? Jesus, not the angels. He's saying that of the Messiah, because when we read the whole psalm, and what I'm going to have you guys do is don't do it now, but write these down and go back and read those whole psalms in their context. And what you'll find out is you're seeing there this a messianic psalm. It's talking about the time in which Christ is going to take authority and rule, starting in the millennial kingdom on into the everlasting kingdom. The next verse says, ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, we just heard that, okay, and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. So it's talking about that time in which Christ is going to, by inheritance, take the rightful heirship over the throne, okay, and that millennial kingdom will begin. So did he say that of the angels? Nope, clearly of the Christ, the Messiah, okay? So clearly of Jesus, Jesus the one who sits in that role. So first question answered, nope, didn't say it of the angels. He says it of the Son, who is the King. And so we see that he's far greater than the angels in that. Okay. And again, so the second question, I will be to him a father and he shall be to me a son. Did he say that of the angels or did he say that of Christ or the Messiah? Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 14. Okay, and again, the context here, when you go back and read in its context, what did I say? 2 Samuel. Is anybody there? Go ahead and read it. I'm not there yet.
I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. When he commits iniquity, I will correct him with the rod of men and the strokes of the sons of men.
Okay, now in the context there, we're dealing with the Davidic covenant, okay? So it's dealing with that Davidic covenant, and the Davidic covenant is that has a king that is to be on the throne for what? Forever, okay? So that's the context that's in that. So go back and read those on your own. So did he say it of the angels? Marcy, question?
Sorry, 2 Samuel what?
7:14, okay? And it's also in 2 Chronicles somewhere. Look, you probably, some of your Bibles probably have a cross reference there. It's also in 2 Chronicles that it's in. I didn't write it down.